Our Bible reading is from the letter of 1 John, that's 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 16. And we're going to read right through to chapter 5, verse 5. And in this letter, John has been telling us about the nature of God's love and what it means for us. And so we read at chapter 4, verse 16. Where he says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." This is God's word for us.
What's your favourite word out of all the words in the world? Out of the 170,000 that we currently use in English? Don't know about you, but mine begins with the letter F. And it's not the word friend, even though I love having friends. Friends are very important. And it's not the word fun, even though I love having fun. Fun is terrific. It's not even the word fried, which might come second on my list because I genuinely think everything just tastes better when it's been fried. I mean, think about it. Eggs taste better fried. Chicken tastes better fried. Fish tastes better fried. Even vegetables are better fried. Fried's a great word, but it's not at the top of my list. No, my favourite word in the whole world is the word free. Free is a wonderful word in so many ways. It's wonderful in terms of not having to pay for something. A few years ago, I went to a conference and I won this pair of headphones, a pair of Sennheiser Momentums. Getting them for free was so much better than having to pay for them. Free is also great in terms of being free from something bad. What's the best news that a person with cancer can get? You are free from disease. We can't see anything on the tests. The word free is also great in terms of being free to do what we want, being free from slavery, free from debt, free from restrictions, being able to be free to go out and free to travel and free to eat at a cafe or restaurant. In so many ways, the word free is the best word in the world. And what we're told in the Bible is that a Christian is free. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." But here is the question. Do you believe that? Is a Christian truly free? Because we know that living as a Christian doesn't mean doing whatever we want. You can see that in a place like 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, John says, this is how we know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. John says that a Christian is supposed to do what is right in terms of loving their brothers and sisters in Christ, their fellow Christians, obeying God's word that is found in the Bible. So given all that, is a Christian truly free? That's what we're looking at from the Bible today. And it'd be great if you could please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And here in 1 John, we're told, firstly from verse 16, that because of God's love, a Christian is now free from fear. So John begins in verse 16 by reminding us of what we've already seen in this chapter, that God is love in himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. And this love from the Trinity has flowed out to us through the death of his Son, Jesus. Then in verse 17, John says that through this act of love, love is made complete among us. Love is made complete among us in terms of God's love, completing what it set out to do, namely saving us from sin and making us more like our Creator, and doing so to the extent that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And how can we have this confidence on the day of judgment? John goes on to say that it's because in this world we are like Jesus. Now let's just stop for a moment to have a think about that. In what way are any of us in this world like Jesus? We're not God like Jesus. We're not perfect like Jesus. It's not like we died for the sins of the world. How are any of us in this world like Jesus in any way? What is John saying? It seems really strange. Well, what John is saying when he says that in this world we are like Jesus is that because of the love which God has shown us in Jesus, where Jesus gives up his life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for your sins and mine, that on the day of judgment, when God judges the living and the dead, rather than seeing us in all of our sin, guilt, and shame, God will see Jesus instead, who stands in our place. And because Jesus lived a perfect life before God and died in our place without any sin of his own, we will, as a result, be declared innocent before God and set free from his judgment, as God judges us on the basis of Jesus rather than us. And this is why John says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, the love shown to us in Jesus, drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and that no longer applies to us. John says, because of the love Jesus has shown us, we have nothing to fear when it comes to standing before God on the day of judgment. Let me ask you, where does fear come from? It comes from uncertainty, doesn't it? Fear of heights, I might fall. A fear of snakes, it might bite me. A fear of crowds, I may not be safe. Fear comes from not knowing what might happen next. I remember talking about this with some high schoolers a little while back. And I asked them, well, who of you are in year 12 and about to sit the HSC? And then I said to them as carefully and helpfully as I could, the HSC is a bit of a scary time, isn't it? Because even if you're a good student, you just don't know what is going to happen. You could get sick. A friend of mine got the chicken pox just before the HSC. You could get an exam, which is really random, with very strange questions in it. You might get super nervous and forget everything that you've learned. There is a lot to be fearful of when it comes to the HSC. But just imagine for a moment, that you could choose anyone you wanted to sit the exams for you. Now, who would you get to sit your exam? Me, personally, I would choose the person who wrote the exam. Just imagine having that person sit the HSC for you, sign me up for 18 units. Because how relaxing would that be? You could just sit back, relax, watch YouTube and eat chips, and boom, 99.95 would be the mark that you'd get. And while all that was happening, would you be afraid? Would you be worried? You'd have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. And that's what it's like for those who trust Jesus when it comes to the day of judgment, who've trusted in Jesus to sit their exam for them. We are in very safe hands. We have nothing to fear because when Jesus looks at us, he sees his son Jesus who wrote the exam and gets 100% for us. And this is why when a Christian says, I know that I'm going to heaven, it's not arrogance. It's not boasting. It's not saying, I'm better than you are. It's just saying, I know that God loves me and that Jesus has died for me and that I'm forgiven and set free because of what Jesus has done for me. If I can just pause for a moment and ask you this question, is that something you can say for yourself? Do you know where you're going? Do you know that God loves you? Have you trusted in Jesus to sit your exam? If you haven't, then let me encourage you to get in touch with this church. They would love to help you. And there's nothing more important you could do today than to share in the confidence you can have in Jesus. But let's just say you have trusted in Jesus. What is John saying to you? He's saying you are free. Free from fear because of the love God has shown to you in Jesus. But not only does God's love for us in Jesus mean that we are free from fear, God's love for us in Jesus also means that we are free to love. And can you please come and have a look with me at the very next verse? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. And here in this verse it says, we love because he first loved us. And why is that important? Well, we all know this, don't we? Love can be complicated, and what can seem loving might not end up being loving at all. So let me give you a couple of examples. Is it love when your boyfriend or girlfriend, your friend or your spouse buys you something really nice for your birthday? Something you've always wanted, something really expensive. And then you find out that the only reason they bought it was to film your reaction for social media. Or is it love when you've got a pressing deadline, you're really under the pump, and your brother or sister comes to your place and they clean it all up and they do the laundry. And on top of all that, they bake you some brownies. And then you find out that your parents had forced them to do that. It's a form of punishment for something they've done wrong. Motivation makes a difference when it comes to love, doesn't it? Because it isn't really love when it's all about you. And it isn't really love when you're forced to do it. Remember, what is love? Love is putting others before yourself and the actions and emotions that go with doing that. And this is why what John is saying here is really important. When he says, we love because he first loved us. Because what John is saying here is that we don't love God to earn God's love. Or we're forced to love God out of a fear of his judgment. Rather, we are truly free to love God without any mixed motivations at all. Because he's already loved us because he loved us first. And what that means is that our love can be genuine and authentic and real and pure. And we can give our love freely and receive love freely. Because there isn't this pressure to do this and to do that to stay in God's good books. Because we're already in his good books because of Jesus. And this very same principle applies when it comes to obedience to God. Just as we're free to love, we're also free to obey. Because just as our love flows out of God's love without any sense of trying to earn our way into God's good books, it's exactly the same when it comes to our obedience. Because obeying God's commands isn't something we need to do in order to be saved, to be the recipients of his love. Obeying God's commands is what we need to do because we've already been saved in response to his love. And that's why John says what he does in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is love for God, to keep his commands. That having been the recipients of God's love through the gift of his son Jesus, if you want to love God in return, then keep his commands. And there are at least two things that flow out of this that are worth understanding. Firstly, it means that you're not loving God while you're breaking his commands. You're not loving God if you ignore what he says in the Bible. And while none of us are perfect this side of heaven, we all need to keep turning back to God for his forgiveness for the way we have sinned. If we either think that sin doesn't matter, or what God says in the Bible doesn't matter, then whatever we're doing isn't loving to God. And while this may sound obvious, it isn't obvious to everybody. Because there are those who can only see things through the lens of what they want personally. So I remember hearing this story a number of years ago about from a minister about a couple from his church. It was a man and a woman who were both married to other people at that time who came up to this minister and said to them, "We're going to leave our marriages and start living together because we know that God wants us to be happy and we want you to bless us." Then there are those who think that they can turn their back on God's word in the Bible because somehow it's out of date and the world has moved on, so it's no longer relevant. But can you imagine us applying the same type of thinking to our own relationships? Hey, you know how we've been married for 20 years and I made these promises and the like, in sickness and health till death do us part? Well, you know, the world has changed and no one takes marriage seriously anymore. So don't take it personally if I go find someone else. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yet that's how we treat God, when we turn our back on the Bible and don't take his word seriously. Whatever the case, you can't say you love God while ignoring his commands. And this leads to the second thing that flows out of what John is saying here that is worth us understanding. You also can't love God without knowing his commands. You need to know God's commands in the Bible in order to love him. And what's true for God is true of any relationship. Let's just say we're at Macquarie Centre and you've got $2.80. How will you know what would be the number one thing that I'd love you to buy for me? Because there are so many things that you can buy in a shopping centre. Clothing, stationery, shoes, makeup, etc. How would you know? How could you work it out that what I actually wanted you to buy for me is black sesame ice cream from the Korean fried chicken shop? Now, you wouldn't know that unless I told you. And it's much the same when it comes to us and God. How can we please God? How can we love him? God has to tell us, and we need to listen, which means going to the Bible where we find his commands, where God actually speaks to us and tells us how to love him. And when we do that, when we go to the Bible, what we discover is that going to the Bible, listening to God, isn't a burden, because it's not like a whole list of things that we have to do to be a Christian. Why? Because we are free. Free from fear and free to love and free to obey because of the love God has shown us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free really is the best word in the world.